go to Golok Vrindavan, just Prabhupada is blessing me to go to Golok Vrindavan. But I want to just share my chanting experience. It's the best in 23 years of my ISKCON. I joined in 1989. Yesterday I could do 64 rounds. Today I have finished 44, and I, Prabhuji's blessings, I should make 64. And today morning chanting was so blissful that each and every point I used to see Krishna is your partner. Just think of him as your part and parcel of him. Just every point you think, and then the end, one thing I just thought that in the last day of chanting, once you think that is the last day, then you'll be more serious. And the meaning of the chanting, when I was thinking what Prabhuji has told, I could see that I'm out of connection with Krishna, I'm no more with him, I'm put into this material world. And the whole Shikshastram I was going through, and I could see that I'm really suffering in this material world. So this is the first day while chanting, tears came out of my eyes. I'm not acting or trying to show off. I just want to share the experience because Prabhuji has told that you do it and you'll surely experience something great. And every point of Prabhuji, if you read once before you chant, then you can feel every situation that Krishna is coming, Krishna is next to you, and you are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Immediately you know that Krishna is there, so I should do better because we are doing for His pleasure. Like that, every point of His, what He has spoken yesterday, I could meditate on that. That helped me to chanting with full mood from the first round till the 16th round. Then I didn't want to leave it, continued and continued. That's why I got late also to come here. Now I want to finish again 64 rounds, and we request Prabhuji to come every year, at least every 3 months we will sponsor his trip, so that it will help us to rejuvenate and remind us that how to chant nicely. Hare Krishna. His Grace Mahatma Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gosindra Premanande.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm very happy for you. And may everyone have such experiences. And these experiences are awaiting all of us. Don't think they're just for special people. Everybody can have them. So I have a new t-shirt I'm going to put on. For those of you who can't see, I will read what it says. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and a purport. Srila Prabhupada writes. Whoa, I lost it. Okay. Of all the regulative principles given by the spiritual master, the instruction to chant 16 rounds is most essential. How many of you remember reading this? This is very important, isn't it? Of all the instructions, Of all the regulative principles, all the regulative principles, means every practice and principle we could follow, given by the spiritual master, the instruction to chant 16 rounds is most essential. What does essential mean? The essence required. It's the essence of everything. The Prabhupada doesn't say it's the essence, it's the most essence. It's the essence of the essence. In other words, he's saying there are many instructions which are essential, but this one's the most essential. So, you were asking, this devotee was asking about deity worship. And deity worship getting in the way of, or taking time from japa. So, of course we have duties in the temple to do deity worship, so then we can regulate the amount of time we spend at home in such a way that it doesn't interfere with our japa, because japa is the most essential, according to this instruction. But you take that further, you should regulate your life in such a way that nothing gets in the way of preventing you from chanting 16 good rounds. What kind of rounds?
Good rounds.
When you were initiated, did you know you were supposed to chant good rounds? Or did you just think 16 rounds? Because there was a letter, initiation letter, and Prabhupada said 16 good rounds. Prabhupada has written, the acharyas have written, of all the nine processes of bhakti, kirtan, chanting, is the most important. They have also said that all the nine processes are contained within chanting. What is the main instruction? If you took all the Vedas and put it into one sentence, what would it be? And that's in the Nectar of Devotion. You know that instruction? Always remember Krishna, never forget him. We have a t-shirt in America. The front it says, always remember Krishna. And the back it says, never forget him. So, you can dance all the Vedas, all the Puranas, all Shastra, and say, what does it say? What do all those books say? Never forget Krishna, and always remember Krishna, never forget him. That's what it says. So that's the essence. That's everything. Prabhupada once wrote me a letter, and I said, what's more important, service or thinking of Krishna? And Prabhupada said, the whole point of everything you're doing is to be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So that's the essence. That's it. That's the goal. The Krishna consciousness movement. The goal is to be conscious of Krishna. So how we understand this statement of Srila Prabhupada is, if the goal is to always remember Krishna, what is the best way to remember Krishna? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
The goal is to always remember Krishna. The best way to remember Krishna is to chant Hare Krishna. Therefore, of all the regulative principles given by the spiritual master, the instruction to chant 16 rounds is most essential. You see how the logic follows? That's why it's the most essential, because it's the best way to think of Krishna, and that's the whole purpose. So now, understanding this is an impetus to improve our japa, because now we understand very, very clearly this is the most important thing we can do for our spiritual advancement. And if we mess up on this, that's the greatest loss. If we don't do it well, it's the greatest loss. Right? So, if you're not going to do something well, do something else not well. But don't do this well. You know, there's 64 items of bhakti. So, you know, maybe you'll skip a few items. Or maybe you won't read one volume of Srimad Bhagavatam every week. But don't skip out on this. This is it, right here. The tent of bhakti is held up by the poles of the holy name. That's what supports our bhakti. Who wants to wear the shirt? Oh, he was first. You have to sit up front if you want to get a shirt. Now, I just wanted to mention something about 16 rounds. Does everyone know how we came up with the number 16 rounds? Who knows? Raise your hand if you know. 16. No, not everybody knows. So, the actual number is 64. That's the standard. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, unless you chant 64 rounds, you're fallen. How does that make you feel? Fallen. We already feel fallen, now we feel really fallen. So, the very beginning of the Hare Krishna movement in New York, with a few disciples that Prabhupada had picked up, he said, you should chant 64 rounds a day. What do you think they said? They said, no problem, we'll chant 128. Did they say that? There's a saying in America, when you can't do something, you just say, no way. So basically they said, no way. And Prabhupada said, okay, 32. And they said, no way. And then Prabhupada said, then 16, no less. And they said, okay. So later on, the devotees asked Prabhupada, they said, Srila Prabhupada, is this number 16 in the Shastra anywhere? He said, no. He said, well, how did you come up with this? He said, well, I just wanted to see what you could do. You know, you couldn't do 64, couldn't do 32, so you could do 16, so it became 16. So that's... Now, I have another t-shirt. This is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. I have a picture. This is an American stop sign. It wouldn't work in India because nobody would stop. This is what a stop sign looks like in America. It's a big red sign. And it says stop on it. So, this says 16. This says quote unquote. Better? Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. This says
Krishna.
This says
16 rounds is nothing. That's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. So I had this little graphic on my computer of a stop sign. So really what this is meant to say is you don't have to stop at 16. And what it's also meant to say is don't think, don't think 16 is a lot. Because Prabhupada said it's nothing. And so we tend to think 16 is a lot, right? So Prabhu's, we got off the hook. We would have been 64, we're lucky. We got off the hook, only 16. So that's the way we want to think about it. Jai Jagannath. The reason I'm bringing this up is because if you think it's a lot, it becomes difficult for you. So don't look at it as a lot. And when you get a taste for the name, you won't think it's a lot. You will think it's not enough. Now, what about these 16? Who should chant 16? Well, everyone who was initiated said they would chant, so they should chant. Now, what if you're not initiated? Should you chant 16? You should try to come to that platform. Certainly. But whatever number you're chanting, you maintain that. So, Prabhupada was very insistent about 16 rounds for his initiated devotees. Many of the letters that he wrote, he would end, please make sure all the devotees in your temple are chanting 16 rounds daily. Why do you think he said that? Because he knew not everybody was. He knew of that tendency. I was with one of my godbrothers in 1976 visiting his temple, and he would show me the letters that Prabhupada wrote. And in the letters, Prabhupada said, please make sure you are chanting 16 rounds daily. It was to him. He didn't say to the devotees in the temple. He said, I keep getting these letters from Prabhupada telling me, please chant 16 rounds daily. And he confided in me. He said, I wasn't chanting 16 rounds a day. And Prabhupada was addressing it to him, where all the other letters are to all the devotees. So, it's very important. And if we take a vow to chant, then we have to make it the most important part of our day. So you want to hear a heavy story? Are you ready for a heavy story? This is very heavy. In about 1970, the Los Angeles Temple bought a church and fixed it up. And just as the final touches of finishing the temple were being done, Prabhupada came. And one devotee was working 20 hours a day, sleeping 4 hours. He wasn't chanting his rounds because he had so much to do to get done before Prabhupada came. So Prabhupada arrived in the temple and he said, are you all chanting 16 rounds a day? The devotee raised his hand and said, no, Prabhupada, I'm not. Prabhupada said, why are you not chanting? He said, Srila Prabhupada, I've been working on the temple 20 hours a day, I'm only sleeping 4 hours. Prabhupada said, then sleep two and chant your rounds. So he was insistent. He was insistent. He didn't compromise on this. This was, he said, 16 rounds was the minimum. He insisted on this. Because he felt this is how we'll be Krishna conscious in this age, and we cannot compromise on this. So he's very, very. So if you're not chanting 16, at least understand that's the goal, someday to come to that platform. So the number is important, but the number gets in the way. So the number is important. Lord Chaitanya, you ever seen that picture? He's chanting on beads. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, we chant on beads so we can count the number of mantras we're chanting, the number of rounds, so we can maintain and then increase. But that's why we use beads, to count. It's a vow. If you have an appointment, 10 o'clock we're going to meet tomorrow. You're committed, you show up at 10 o'clock. Of course, in India you show up at 11, but at least you show up, right? You're committed. So when you make a vow to chant 16 rounds, that means, Krishna, every day I'm showing up for you for 2 hours. That's what it is. I will be there every day, 5 in the morning, 4, 3, 6, 7, whatever it is. I'll be there for you every day for 2 hours. That's what it means. It's a relationship. We have a relationship. I promise I'll meet you at a certain time. There's a relationship. So we're promising Krishna, I'll show up for you every day. I'll be there for you every day. I've got an appointment with you. We're going to be together 2 hours a day, every day. Now think about this. Practically speaking, you're not alone with anybody for 2 hours a day, every day of your life, are you? So if you multiply that 2 hours a day of good japa for 10, 20, 30 years, and you look back at your life, you'll realize that Krishna is your best friend. You spend more time with him than anybody. Right? So you compromise on the 16, then you compromise on that time. Look back at your life and you'll realize when you went to Mayapur, Krishna went with you in the holy name. If you've been to America, Krishna went with you to America. If you went to this other city, he went with you there. Everywhere since you began chanting consistently, everywhere you go, Krishna goes with you. It's special. Chanting 60 rounds a day is special. Because no matter where you go, no matter what you do, you find 2 hours for Krishna. It's very special. So multiply that by your entire life. Don't you think that's going to, when you look back at your life, you're going to think, that was special. I spent my whole life with Krishna, every day, 2 hours at least. So that's the special nature of being consistent in that japa. You'll have a whole life to look back and think, it's on all the difficulties I went through, Hare Krishna. Krishna was there, I was chanting his name. I was depending on him. It's so sweet. How many of you are chanting 16? Keep your hands up. With your other hand, raise it if you don't always chant 16 every day. Yeah. So that has to stop. Because we want to show up for Krishna. And if you show up for Krishna, he'll show up for you, right? We want to show up for Krishna. We want to keep that promise. Krishna, I'll be there every day at this time, and we'll chant, and we'll do it. That's the idea. That's your commitment. So that's how we should be thinking. And if those of you who are not chanting 16 rounds should be thinking, wow, I'm really missing out. I could be with Krishna longer. That's the idea. Now, if we meditate on the instruction that this is the most important thing, and we really take that to heart, then logically what happens is our life starts to move around so that 2 hours with Krishna is a good 2 hours. Things get adjusted. Remember we gave the example of this. We gave the example on Friday night of a silver pen and a 5-rupee pen. We passed out 5-rupee pens for you, and I can guarantee you in 10 years from now, that if I come back here and say, do you have the 5-rupee pen we passed out on December 2nd for the Java workshop? And you'll say, what pen are you talking about? What if we passed out a solid silver pen with diamonds on it? And I said, do you have that pen? You say, oh yeah, Prabhu, I have it. So it's the same thing with the holy name. Because we realize that our spiritual life is dependent on the quality of our chanting, then it starts to take a priority. Now, Bhakti Siddhanta made a wonderful point. He said, if you don't chant well, you won't realize that because you'll be getting nothing from it, or so little from it, so little realization, that it won't alter your life. You'll actually feel like it's just getting in the way. Anyone ever feel like that? I'm so busy, these 16 rounds, I wish I didn't have to chant 16 rounds, because I could get so much more done. I feel like that a lot when I get busy. God, if I just, you know, didn't have to chant my rounds, I could finally get caught up and start another project. But when we realize how important it is, then things get adjusted. And then we don't want to just chant 16 rounds because now we're getting a taste. So we want to make sure the rounds are good because we don't want to miss the taste, right? Just like you don't want to eat dinner tonight with tape on your tongue, do you? Does anybody want to do that? I bought a roll of tape. If you want, I can give it to you. But not chanting good rounds is like putting tape on our tongue. We don't taste the nectar. So when you start to taste the nectar, then you begin thinking, wait a minute, if I don't organize my life in a way that I can focus on these rounds and concentrate and put my heart into it and do everything that I'm learning this weekend, I'm not going to get this taste. And if I don't get the taste, then I know the scales get off and I'm just going to be, you know, entangled in my material desires and attachments. So I really want to do this right. And I really want to make sure it happens. And then you start to notice your whole life moves. It's like everything starts to shift a little bit. Because you realize, if I'm going to do that, everything else in my life has to line up. Otherwise it's going to get in the way. And that's when you're chanting gets consistently good, because you've made the space in your life for that time when you can chant well. And at that point, that's when it all takes off. When you get to that point, bye-bye Maya. That's the high, that will be, if you get to that point, that becomes a major high point in your life. So that's really what we are striving for, to get to that point, 16 good rounds every day where we're feeling Krishna's presence, where we're relishing it, and our life adjusted in such a way that we can do that consistently. The real trick is consistent. If you do it once in a while, it'll be nice, but if you do it every day, as we said yesterday, if the way we've been chanting this weekend, we did that every morning, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So that's an effort we have to make. I said on Friday night, the whole world's working against you. To do this, to chant 16 good rounds, pretty much everything out there is working against you. When you actually think about it. The odds of chanting 16 good rounds are not good if you go with the flow. You just let your life go the way it goes. The odds of consistently chanting 16 good rounds are against you. You have to do something to organize your life so you can do this. You remember what I said yesterday? Don't go with the flow. Go with what you want to achieve. Focus on what I want to do. I want to chant 16 good rounds or whatever it is, 8 or 4. I want to chant quality rounds every day. That's my goal. That's where the mind is. And then Krishna will help you organize your life. But if that intention isn't strong, you're going to find the whole world come on you. I mean, you know, you're going to sit down to chant, and you know, you'll get a phone call at 5 in the morning that the, you know, some disaster is going on. It's interesting that you will find in your life that if you're not really determined to chant well, that things will come into your life and they'll keep getting in the way. It's almost like Krishna saying, well, you don't want to chant well, so here's some good reasons not to. Well, I had my kid was sick, I had to take him to the hospital at 5:30 in the morning, and then, you know, I had to go to work early. And, you know, it's amazing how Krishna works. That when you're finding it hard to make that space and time, ask yourself, do I really want that space and time? Or is Krishna just putting all these obstacles in the way because I really don't want it? And that I can't somehow or other find that time. Things keep getting in the way. What's going wrong here? Ask yourself, is Krishna really just fulfilling my desire? Because I don't have a taste and I really don't want to do it. And I think if we're honest, in most cases, the answer is going to be yes. And as soon as we make that intention to do it, we'll see somehow or other gradually Krishna will clear out space for us. Because that's what we want to do. And he'll do it. He'll enable us to do that. At one point in my life, I was extremely busy. You know, you ever have those busy times when 24 hours is not enough? You think, if I just had 36, that would be great. And then you get so busy and you're up to like, nah, 36 wouldn't be enough. Need about 48, then I'd be doing good. And I was asking myself, how did I end up in this position where I'm so busy that to carve out 2 hours where I can just focus on chanting with a calm mind is becoming more and more difficult? And I realized I created it because I really wasn't attached to chanting. Because if I were, I would have never created a life like that. That made it so difficult to chant my rounds. I would have made sure I had that time to chant. Because ultimately, I was the one who got myself so busy. I mean, sometimes we can't control it. But if you really look at, you can control a lot of what's going on. I didn't have to start this extra thing. I didn't have to get this second job. I didn't, you know, there are things you can control. So we should ask ourselves these things. If the time isn't there, the big question is why? And that was my realization. That I didn't have a taste. And therefore I allowed the things to get in the way because I didn't care. And it takes, you know, it takes being honest, right? It takes being honest. So this is something to meditate on in the next few weeks and months. This is the goal. This is important. This is really where we're headed in our spiritual life. 16 good rounds. Make the space, make the time, and everything will come from there. And then, when you do that, then just like Sukhakar, you'll have the same experience. He can't stop at 16. He chanted 64 yesterday. He chanted 48 today. He's like, is anybody forcing him to do that? No. He's making the space and the time. Now, we talked about sacred space. I want to tell you something else about sacred space, which is very interesting. We said you create a space where you won't be distracted. You know, dig a hole in your backyard and under your house and go in there and chant. Don't tell anybody you're there. Get your rounds done and come out. But you could be in a cave in the ground and not be in a sacred space, because sacred space has two aspects, external and internal. So what is an internal sacred space? Question inside. I never would have guessed. I thought there was a diamond ring inside. Only kidding. So now, I'm chanting the holy name. I'm with Krishna. So I have to create an environment within my own heart that I can honor Krishna. And what is that environment that I must create within my heart? It's an environment in which I can give my attention to my chanting. And my attention is not on anything else. That's called the internal sacred space. So now, a lot of you have been saying, but when I chant, my mind is wild. Creating internal sacred space means, in a visual sense, visualize a heart. I have this, I'll send it to you. It's a visual of a heart. And inside the heart, which is your heart, when you chant, what do you want to bring inside your heart? You want to bring in your prayers, your devotion, your sincerity, all the things we spoke about, right? You want to bring that in your heart, right? And what do you want to get out of your heart? All the worries, the anxieties, the things you have to do, the concerns, all the things that distract you. You want that outside of your heart, because if they're there in your heart when you're chanting, you can't welcome Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta said, chanting means we should welcome the holy name. So your heart is like your house, and you're welcoming Krishna into your heart. So you want to clean it and get rid of all these to-do lists and all these things. I have to move them out of my heart because Krishna's coming in, and I don't want to be distracted when he comes, right? I'm welcoming him. He's coming to my home. I want to be able to honor him. So what it means is that when we sit down to chant, we have to honor that we're welcoming the holy name. And Prabhupada said, he said it just like this. He said, just like you bow down to the deity, you should bow down to the holy name when you chant, because he's appearing. So in order to do that, we call it the sacred space, the internal space, because you have to make it sacred. And to make it sacred, just like your guest is coming over, so you clean the room, right? You ever do that before you have a guest? Oh, my Guru Maharaj is coming. So you know, all of a sudden you notice all the dirt in the room. Right? You notice that things are out of place, and if he comes and he sees this, he's going to say something, because he told me last time, and I didn't clean it up yet. So it's a little bit like that, that you're looking, you know, okay, so many things are going on in my mind, but now I'm going to chant, so I have to clean that out, so I can welcome Krishna. And then I want to bring in the proper mood and the proper mentality. So what is in the sacred space that we need to clean out? It's all those things that we think about. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do next week? What about this? What if I don't get this job? What if my kids don't get good grades? All the what ifs, all the worries. Or what's really bad is all the people you hate. I hate this one, I hate that one, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. When I see them, I'm going to tell them what I really think about them. Wrong, wrong, Hare Hare. I mean, it gets crazy. You know, there's so many, isn't it? Crazy things can be going on. So the whole point is, at least for that time when we're chanting, we want to honor that relationship. That now is the time. I want to honor this relationship, so I want to make it sacred. So even though we're busy, even though life is crazy, even though we have worries, we say, that has to stop right now. Krishna is coming. I have to welcome him. I just have to stop it. Somehow or other, I got to stop it. I cannot allow that to go on. That's not proper welcoming of Krishna. That's how we have to think. And that's how we honor the holy name. So, you can see, if you think that way, how it's easier to adjust your life so you can have that sacred time. Because you know, well, if I don't get up early, then I'm not going to have that sacred time because I'll be thinking, what do I have to do to get ready, and so forth. So then it goes back, your life starts changing. Though maybe I should go to bed earlier, maybe I should get up earlier. Maybe I should make this room a temple, you know, where it's isolated, where nothing's going on. Something, you know, things start changing. And that's how your japa will improve. Now, I'm going to tell you something really interesting. We have any mathematicians here who can just do math off the top of the... Well, you all have cell phones, so you could do it. We just heard we chant 1,728 rounds. 28 times. 28 mantras. Every day. Multiplied by 30 is... 5,280? What is it? 5,184. 51,000 mantras a month multiplied. This is if you chant 16 rounds. Multiplied by 12 gives us 622,000. That's 1 year. How many mantras you chant? 600,000. So let's say the average age here is 35. And you all live another 40 years. So multiply by 40. 40. $20 million. $25 million. $24 million. So the average devotee in this room is going to chant before they die 24 million mantras. The question is, are they going to be good mantras or not? So at the end of your life, when you're on your 23,999,000 mantras, and you're reflecting on your life, are you going to say, you know, I wish I would have done what Mahatma suggested. I chanted 24 million bad mantras. Or when you're chanting your last mantra, just before you're about to leave your body, you're going to go, I'm glad I took the time to create a sacred space and reorganize my life. Because those last 24 million mantras were really good. In America, you have this word damn, like if something we just go, damn. So, is it going to be, damn, I should have chanted? Or is it going to be, die, I did it? You see? So if you look at it from that perspective, it really makes sense, doesn't it? It's like, yeah, I'm really glad I did that because I had a really good 24 million mantras. I had a really good time with Krishna every day for the last 40 years. It was really good. I liked it. It's going to make a huge difference, isn't it? Now imagine you did something 24 million times and you did it wrong every time. How good at it would you get? You'd get really good at doing it wrong. In fact, you'd probably be one of the experts in doing it wrong. So we don't want to become experts at Nama Parah, do we? 24, I did it, but I chanted 24 million times. Yeah, great, and you did it wrong every time. So you're really good at doing it wrong. Yeah, we don't want that. So it's just interesting to think. We're all going to chant 24 million, if you're younger, you're going to chant more, maybe, you know, 50 million Maha Mantras. Might as well do it good, right? So. Does that make sense? Would you like to practice on creating internal space right now? So, the ideas of internal space is you're welcoming Krishna. You're welcoming the holy name. And you know, you're living your life, you get up, there's so many things on your mind, I have to do this and that. But when your fingers hit your beads, you get your hand in your bead bag, an alarm goes off. Sacred space, sacred space. As soon as you touch your bead, you realize, oh, I'm actually welcoming Krishna. Right? And so you realize, okay, stop thinking about everything else, put that aside, and then you begin thinking, well, what's the mood, what's the meditation, what did I learn? Krishna, please accept me. Krishna, please draw me to you. Krishna, uplift me. Krishna, forgive me for my offenses. Praying to the name to overcome inattention. Whatever it is, it's all about what you're giving to the holy name. Right? Krishna, let's spend this time together. So, let's practice welcoming Krishna. And particularly, I think it's really nice if we meditate now that we're spending time with Krishna right now. And each one of us has our own Krishna to spend time with, right? It's not one Krishna, it's one Krishna for each of us. This is almost as good as the Rasa dance. Right? We each get one Krishna because we have peace, right? And we're chanting, so we get our own Krishna. Isn't that nice? And as I said yesterday, each of us has a certain kind of devotion we can offer to Krishna that he appreciates, because he appreciates each of the devotion we give, because it's different. So the idea is we go into our sacred space, we appreciate, we meditate, Krishna and his name are the same. We open our heart to all the feelings that are necessary to promote the relationship, and then we just put out the other things. And if they try to come in, we just put them out. And it's very gentle. Now, I just wanted to say to you, don't worry so much about if you're doing it right or wrong, because it's a very natural thing. So, again, don't think of it so much as a process, but as a relationship. And in relationships, things are natural, right? So, because a lot of your questions, as I said before, are more about process. So think of it more in relationship. Okay? Are we ready? Okay, so from now on until that 24th million mantra, your last mantra, as soon as you hit your beads, the alarm goes on. You have alarms here? Fire alarm? You have fire alarms? What do they sound like? Like that? So the alarm goes off, the sacred space alarm goes off, and you realize, oh, it's time to get in sacred space. Okay? So when you go in sacred space, then what happens? The very first mantra you chant, you're right there. You don't have to wait for 8 rounds, 4 rounds. You're right there. Okay? Now, Prabhus, we're going to follow the most essential order of the spiritual master. Right? We're going to chant Hare Krishna. Okay? Be ready? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.